Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
Ultimately, we're purposefully traveling then throughout our planet and outfitting and supporting others so that they would reach out to all nations for Christ.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. As we begin our year-long look at making a difference, Pastor Herron takes us to Paul's sermon in Acts 13 as he shares with us a message called Making a Difference, a New Testament Model.
I think it's good, and about once a year we do this, is to kind of make sure we know where we're headed. I think it's important because if you don't know where you're headed, you're going to have trouble. My wife and I dropped off the Eola Laws 8:30-ish or so on Wednesday morning. And you know how it is when you drop people off at their departures, you go down the hill to the light. You take a left. And now you're headed down towards, we kept going all the way down to Home Depot, but there's a light there and you take a left to come back here. The road goes up into the airport, it's one way. I'm coming across this road, this one way up into the airport, it's to my left, and I notice a guy coming this way in front of me. So initially I'm just thinking, well, it's two way. And then I realized, no, it's not two way, this is like a one way. So he kind of slowly goes by me, so I'm stopped now, which is not my stop, but he comes by me and gets by us. I will tell you one thing, he is going down a wrong way road, and he is confused. My wife goes, oh my. And so he realizes I'm going the wrong way because people are coming at him. So he takes this road this way. So I'm coming up here. I take a right. And so now I'm realizing we're going to merge. He has a stop sign. Does he stop at the stop sign? Nay, my Lord, he does not stop at the stop sign. Now he's in front of me. And I noticed his left bumper, he's got a ding. His back right bumper has got a ding. No, this is good. This is good. So now he's like poking along, like, and I honestly, I do not know whether this is a male or female driver. All I know is that it's like this poor person, they don't know where they're going. And on top of it all, I'm now behind them. I'm not making this up, honest. They're in front of me. People are coming this way, okay, to the airport, and he drives. And you know where the old airport is now Continental and the clinic there? Honest, he takes a left. But it's not on the left like the normal road. He's going again in a wrong way street. Honest. And now I'm thinking, this guy's going to hurt himself. He's going to hurt himself. And on top of it all, we're looking, thinking, is this like any stickers that say rental car, right? There's no rental car stickers. This is like this guy's car. And the funny out of all of it was the sticker on the back that said, In God We Trust. Honest. Amen. He's going to trust the Lord because he's going to hurt himself. I told him, he's going to hurt himself. He's just wandering. Now, if you can understand that, I don't want to wander. I don't want our ministry to wander. I don't want to, hey, well, let's try this. This looks good. Hey, let's get this program. Let's start this ministry. Hey. I don't think that's helpful. I don't think that's how God operates. Now, if you can understand that, that's why, let me give you, and if you're taking notes, let me just jot down reminders, because they really are, and maybe just a passage to draw a little direction on 2 Timothy 3:14-17. This is what I call the New Testament model in making a difference. This is not new to you. I'm saying the same things to you, only because I think this is the pattern of the new scriptures and the model in which, for us, our mission, as we've stated so often on Matthew 22, is to help people develop a heart for God. This is how we process when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like unto the first, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. This has always been our backdrop. In essence, this is our mission. This is our purpose. This is why we're here, not new to you. And the expression of this comes in three ways that I think is a New Testament model. One of those, very simply, and it starts with, if you could look at a maturing process, okay, from an infant to adult. Because as people grow, it starts with a new birth. Romans 1:16 states it. It's evangelism. It's presenting the good news of Jesus Christ that converts unbelievers into born-again children of God. All right? This is very simply evangelism. Romans 1:16, as I quoted, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. I mentioned 2 Timothy 3 only because this would be an illustration. I don't think it's the primary meaning of this text, but very simply, you notice in verse 14 when Paul, writing to young Timothy, reminded him, continue in the things that you've learned. Why did he say that? Verse 14 of 2 Timothy 3. Because, and he says, you're assured of, knowing of whom you've learned them, notice that from a child, from an infant, some would suggest that's even within the womb. That from the very beginning, Timothy had heard the word of God. But understanding that he still had to choose to say, you know what, I want to take Christ as my Savior. There's a new birth experience. That's evangelism. An expression of that, beyond that, evangelism, as our mission is here, objectives we have, one is evangelism, seeing people saved. Because we are convinced we need to give that out. That's a mandate. That's an objective. All right? Number two, let me give you the very word edification. That's a Bible term. But really what that means is prayerfully then building up and discipling those children. Once they're saved, once a person is born again, he needs the idea of building up. You find that in Ephesians 4:12 from the very word edification, or the idea of to build up, because if our mission is central, how that's going to express itself in this evangelism, an edification. In other words, you're taking a person from that newborn infancy and moving them forward by building them, discipling them. I don't want to labor this because, again, it's familiar to you, but I think it's important to restate. We have reasons why we're doing, otherwise we're going to be driving all over the road and we're going to hurt ourselves and hurt other people. And then the third element is the idea of equipping. You find in 2 Timothy 3 when he says in verse 15 that from a child you knew the Holy Scriptures. That's able to make you wise in salvation. Paul said, Timothy, you heard the word as a young person, and as you then understood that in verse 16 that Scripture was given, it was inspired, it was God-breathed. And it gives to us, as you know, the one verse for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. What does that do? Notice, if you would, that it also, verse 17, makes it profitable, that verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect or mature or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There's evangelism, there's edification building up, and then the idea of equipping. We find that word when he says thoroughly furnished. There's some of your versions that would use the idea of outfitted. It's the idea of, as we use the word equipped, that Timothy was the good example of a young child, an infant that grew. He grew in the knowledge of God's word. He was built up. And then beyond that, then he was equipped. And Paul was saying, Timothy, you are to be equipped, fully loaded. I like that term. It would be the idea of, as a wagon is putting things on that wagon for that day. And so it is, God's word is fully equipping you, outfitting you for your day, for your needs, for what you need to do as a minister. I think specifically for Timothy as a minister, but actually for all of us. This is what we are to do as a ministry, as a church, to be able to help, not just to see evangelism, but to help them grow, to build them up. And not just that, but also to equip you, that you would be ready for whatever ministry God has for you. And then, beyond that, we take all of that and expand this. Because ultimately, we're purposefully traveling then throughout our planet and outfitting and supporting others so that they would reach out to all nations for Christ. That's really the expansion or the extension of all of these evangelism, edification, equipping. In our case, we happen to have multiple spokes that move out and extend and expand God's call for our life and our ministry. I use all this as, again, a reiteration to you because I believe it's important that we can organize. I think it's so needed. We've got to realize that ultimately God's the one that takes what we have as best we can be, as efficient and effective as a ministry. Because individually, and as families, and our church, and then we can spread out and say, God, how far do you want us to expand? That's why we're committed to global missions. That's why we support missions. That's why we take what we have, and as Acts 1:8, we extend locally, regionally, and globally. I'll give you an illustration, and then we'll close. I got a phone call from Rhonda Green from the hospital. As we were in there in that neonatal care unit, there must have been a dozen other babies as well. Some of those preemies, one of them last week was more at 2 pounds. All of them hooked up to wires, sensors, probes, tubes to help them breathe, to help them with nourishment. Some of them that are incubated that can't even reach and touch the little one because of the concern and care, and everything's gowned on and scrubbed up because they're concerned about any kind of bacteria. Many of you that have seen that, been in that. But it's a good picture to help you understand why all of that. Moms in there that are there looking at their baby. Men and women that are coming in and out, being able to spend a little bit of time with their little baby, hoping that they can grow and get bigger so that they can get out of there. They're not meant to stay there. But the reality is that why all of this work and time and resources and money for every one of those little ones? You know why? Because all these people committed to helping this baby live. It's that simple. And if there's that much time and energy given to help these little ones in their physical life, and well, it should be. But the reality is that shouldn't it be that way spiritually? We wonder why people make a profession for Christ and then wonder they wander off. And I think who in the world spend time feeding that little one, protecting that little one spiritually from so many things coming at them, so many confusing doctrines and the really people that are out to destroy them spiritually. Shouldn't we as a church feel responsible to be that neonatal care for so many that just come to Christ? I'm glad for our church as people get saved that there's a welcoming arms to them and glad they're here. They come in perfect? No. Do they have issues? Absolutely. Don't you? Don't I? But when there's a care that people know, you know what, it's okay to hurt out loud. It's okay to have needs because nobody's perfect here. But I want to encourage you this year, you pray, God, would you allow me to be a part of birthing a new one in the family of God? God, would you allow me to take just one and see them turn to Christ and begin discipling them and become that neonatal care for them and give them all the nourishment that I can, that the Word of God is that nourishment, that spiritual food for them. I pray that that would be the case. We have no idea what's going to take place in the months ahead. I hope the best for our island, hope the best for our country, but you have no idea when another 9/11 will come. You have no idea what will take place. I'm glad our security is not in our world. Our security is in the Lord, and our sufficiency is in the Scriptures that help us to be able to make a difference. I pray that would be the case.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.